إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the four elements of success as described in the ayat of Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. We saw the two first, ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Today I want to remind myself and you about the third one, which is the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah said, وَمَنْ يَخْشَى اللَّهَ, the one who has the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah said, the among the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who have the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ulama. Meaning that to be an alim, the only qualifying factor as described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is the khashyat of Allah. It is not memorization of Quran, it is not knowledge of fiqh, it is not knowledge of hadith, it is not, and that does not mean that a person has to be ignorant of all these things. That's not the meaning of that. If you have no knowledge of fiqh, then you cannot do your salah. So you obviously are not an alim. But the point being that it is not proficiency or great knowledge or memorization of books or qualifying from this or that university. The only requirement as described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the khashyat of Allah. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَةِ. What is this khashyat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned this khashyat in many places. Two of them where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِئًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if this Quran were to be sent on a mountain, the mountain would humble itself and would crumble to dust مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, by the khashyat of Allah. Now what does this mean and how does this apply to us? What it means and how it applies to us is the example that is being given, تِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah said these examples we give so people can reflect and think. The example that is being given, Allah is giving the example of something which is massive, something which is very strong, which is established, which does not move. The symbol of stability, the symbol of unchangeability, which is a mountain. And Allah is saying that this will change. This mountain will lose its character of hardness, will lose its character of unchangeability, of inflexibility, of rigidity, of stability in a particular position. The mountain will lose all of that. What is the meaning of humble itself? Humble itself means this. The mountain is a symbol of strength. The strength will go away. The strength meaning, it doesn't mean the mountain will become powerless. It means that the strength which was standing in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fall in sujood. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَسْجُدْ وَقْتَرِبْ. In Surah Al-Iqra, Allah said, go into sajda and come close. What is going into sajda? Going into sajda is the icon of khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the person has khashyat of Allah in his heart, the person will fall into sujood. Now how do you get this khashyat? Again, we go back to the ayat where Allah said, the ulama have khashyat. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Khashyat is the result of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. To understand the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khashyat is not khawf. Khashyat and khawf are two different things. Even though we translate both as fear, and we seem to translate everything as fear, even taqwa is translated as fear. But the point is that khashyat and khawf are two different things. Shaitan said, Inni akhafullah. Iblis, he said, I am afraid of Allah. So did he have khashyat? He didn't have khashyat, because even though he had. Now we have to ask ourselves, because we always use this term, we say shaitan has, iblis has knowledge of Allah. If he has knowledge, how can he not have khashyat? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the ulama have khashyat. People have knowledge, have kashyat. So if Iblis had knowledge, then how did he not have kashyat? So obviously what Iblis has is not knowledge. If you describe what Iblis has is knowledge, then what will you describe what the Anbiya have? What will you describe what the ulama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabbaniyin, the ulama of al-haq, what do they have? Is there no difference between what knowledge Iblis has and what knowledge the awliya Allah have? There is a huge difference. There is completely two opposite things. So what Iblis has is information. He does not have knowledge. If he had knowledge, he would have khashyat. If he had khashyat, he would have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without khashyat, and you cannot have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then say you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible. Knowledge means obedience. Otherwise, what is the meaning of knowledge? So Iblis had information. Whatever that information was, whatever the extent of that information was, obviously that information was not sufficient to produce khashyat in his heart, and therefore he made the biggest mistake, which is to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a precondition to khashyat, and khashyat is the product of knowledge. So knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understanding, as I keep saying always, the difference between information and knowledge is information, it is data. That data, when it is practiced, converts to knowledge, right? The example which I always give, of the example of rappelling, for example, you have information about the power of the rope to hold you, you have information about the ability of the harness and the safety of the harness, but when does that information turn into knowledge? When you take the step off the cliff. Information has not changed, it's still the same rope, it's still the same harness, but the quality of that data which you had, the quality of that information which you had has changed, because now you are experiencing that thing. The other example which I give is the example of flying. So when you are sitting in a plane and you are about to take off, you know, as a training pilot, first flight, you have whatever knowledge is required about how the plane flies, about the principle of lift, about aerodynamics and so on. All this knowledge you have because it's preconditioned to even getting into the cockpit. You have to pass an exam. So in that exam, you have learned all these things. But none of that is knowledge. All of that is information. All that you have until that point in time is information, right? It's only when that information gets converted. And when does that happen? When the plane takes off. When you start the engines, when you step on the brakes and rev the engines, and then you take your foot off the brakes and the plane surges forward and you pull the joystick and the plane lifts, that is when the principle of flight actually becomes knowledge. Until then, it's information. So khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes out of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Without the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no khashyat. And therefore, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then converting that knowledge into, converting that information about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, converting it to knowledge through obedience, this is what brings about khashyat of Allah. And that's why the story which I always tell about Bishr al-Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi, and his position with Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, where Imam Ahmad used to call him his he used to say he's my sheikh, and when people asked him, why do you say that, he said, because he has the husool of knowledge, he has the essence of knowledge. And what is the essence of knowledge? Is khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that the one who has khashyat of Allah, this person is somebody who has attained ultimate success. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have his khashyat in our hearts. And as I have said before, I remind myself and you, what is the measurement of khashyat? The measurement of khashyat is itaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have khashyat of Allah, then we are obedient to Allah. If we are not obedient to Allah, it means there is no khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there cannot be anything good in life. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to fill our hearts with his noor and with his khashyat, and to make us among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to be his obedient slaves, about whom he said, Fasjud waqtarib. And we ask Allah to draw us close to him jalla jalaluhu, because getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a matter of his grace and his gift. It is not something that you can do by yourself. We prepare ourselves, we make ourselves ready, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that final permission to come close to him, because without that we cannot do it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.